You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Our words of wisdom today are from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25, and chapter 5, verse 2. You can follow along on the screen if you'd like. Therefore, after you have gotten rid of lying, each of you must tell the truth to your neighbor, because we are parts of each other in the same body. Be angry without sinning. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Don't provide an opportunity for the devil. Thieves should no longer steal. Instead, they should go to work, using their hands to do good, so that they will have something to share with whomever is in need. Don't let any foul words come out of your mouth. Only say what is helpful when it is needed for building up the community, so that it benefits those who hear what you say. Don't make the Holy Spirit of God unhappy. You were sealed by Him for the day of redemption. Put aside all bitterness, losing your temper, anger, shouting, and slander, along with every other evil. Be kind, compassionate, and forgiving to each other, in the same way God forgave you in Christ. Therefore, imitate God like dearly loved children. Live your life with love, following the example of Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. He was a sacrificial offering that smelled sweet to God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. I want to say that especially when you hear what's going to be given to you today as a message, those of you that went up to the Navajo Nation were Jesus for them. And that's what this is all about. And so thank you for your gift of time and love and spirit in a place that needed some help, and you were willing to go. And it's just beautiful to see you, young ladies, young women, rocking. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. So I have a little story for you. Today must be a day full of stories. A new missionary recruit went to Venezuela for the first time. He was struggling with the language and didn't understand a whole lot of what was going on. Intending to visit one of the local churches, he got lost. But eventually, he got back on track and found the place. Having arrived late, the church was already packed, and the only pew with a seat open was the one on the front row. So, as not to make a fool of himself, the recruit decided to pick someone out of the crowd to imitate. He chose to follow the man sitting next to him on the front pew. As they sang, the missionary tried to follow along. When the man stood up to pray, the missionary recruit stood up too. When the man sat down, he sat down. When the man took the cup and bread for the Lord's Supper, he took the cup and the bread. During the preaching, the recruit didn't understand a thing. He just sat there and tried to look just like the man in the front pew. Then he perceived that the preacher was giving announcements. People clapped, so he looked to see if the man was clapping. He was, and so the recruit clapped too. Then the preacher said some words that he didn't understand, and he saw the man next to him stand up. So he stood up too. Suddenly a hush fell over the entire congregation, and a few people gasped. He looked around and saw that nobody else was standing, so he sat down. After the service ended, the preacher stood at the door, shaking the hands of those who were leaving, and when the missionary recruit stretched out his hand to greet the preacher said in English, "I take it you don't speak Spanish." The missionary recruit replied, "No, I don't. Isn't that obvious?" "Well, yes," said the preacher. "I announced that the Acosta family had had a newborn baby boy, and would the proud father please stand up?" Isn't that a good story? I promise you, this little tale will be relevant to the bottom line of the message in just a few minutes. This is our fourth Sunday together, and by now we are knee-deep in exploring what matters to us, what we have to keep front and center in our actions and our hearts if we say we want to live God's way right now. So we know that we started with receiving the call and saying yes, and then we talked about being a good Samaritan and also being a transformed person who was in the ditch. And we've talked about focusing on who and what is important. The who part is probably more important, but we decided that you could be like Mary or like Martha. Both together is actually a good combination. So today we're considering a passage from the letter to the Ephesians, back to the time of the early church. This letter was probably written by a follower of Paul, and there's some theological discussion about it truly being a letter only for the Ephesians. It's more likely that it was written as a general letter of guidance to be circulated among the many churches that were in the area. And Ephesians, that part was added later. But those details aside, the letter to the Ephesians remains one of the most influential books of the New Testament because its central theme is of bringing people to and uniting people through and in God. And in this passage, we're being given some very good advice for throwing out old ways of living to adopt God's way. We're being told we must be imitators of God. Imitators of God? What does that mean? Well, we know that imitation is a primary way animals and humans learn basic life skills, such as how to catch, clean, and eat your food, how to clean, take a drink, clean oneself, and how to procreate, how to write, how to read, speak, or walk, how to ride a bike, how to do work. Animals and humans learn what is acceptable behavior in their respective societies by copying the acts of others. For animals, a pecking order can include birth order or physical attributes. For humans, there are guidelines about how to dress, how to use manners, how to speak to others. All of these can be learned by watching and copying or imitating someone who knows what to do. Imitation is a natural and necessary way of learning to live. To be an imitator is to be a copycat, a mimic, a knockoff in the best sense of the word. But sometimes imitation holds a negative connotation. Sometimes what is being imitated is less than desirable. What is learned doesn't add to the good of a society, and it needs to be redirected. My first reaction to the notion of being an unacceptable imitator brought to mind fake designer jeans, purses, watches, and shoes that find their way into street-side stalls in big cities like New York and Chicago, or in those little ports of call when you're on a cruise in Mexico. These items are cheap imitations, great lookalikes, but made with lesser quality parts and sold for practically nothing, and it's clear they are bogus substitutions for the real thing. But if you like it, you don't care. Well, in our text for today, we hear that the people of the church of Ephesus had the look of being a community of God, but in reality, many of them were probably cheap imitations of faithful believers themselves. They acted in ways that did not honor their love for God and each other. They lied and bickered, stole from one another, spoke negatively of one another, and lived with angry feelings, resulting in angry, sinful acts. Does it seem to you that things haven't changed very much in thousands of years? Are we all guilty of some of that? Of course. We can make a case for right now, because it doesn't take much for one person's discontent to infect a whole group. And it's very possible that there was dissension and trouble in the new churches, especially when the strong physical and emotional presence of Paul wasn't there to help keep things in line. And I'd say a lot was at stake. Not only were new churches in jeopardy of falling apart from within, but potential new believers on the outside could easily witness the dissension within the Ephesus congregation and assume that this new church of one God worship might not exactly be such a great alternative to the multi-God belief system they themselves lived in at the time. So the author of the letter of the Ephesians wrote a straightforward communication, cautioning the people to take care that they don't fall into the trap of being cheap imitations, of being shallow living pseudo members of the new church, the kind who talked a good story but lived lives that demonstrate otherwise. To ensure their understanding of how important it was that they be better examples, the author gave them specific suggestions, and if you listen carefully, you may hear the words that Jesus himself would have used when he spoke to the people during his very short ministry. The author told them to stop lying and to speak kindly toward and about one another. He told them to help those who had fallen on the wrong path and teach the strays to new skills to help others in need. He told them to speak to one another in ways that would help build up their esteem instead of tear it down. He told them to dump all that bad mojo they're doing and be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving toward one another. And finally, he told them to be imitators of God, who does all of the above just for them. You could say the author of this letter instructed the people to be deep, not cheap, imitators of God, with a very specific goal. And here's the quote: live your life with love. Follow the example of Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In other words, and we can certainly apply this to our ways of being faithful today, be like Jesus, and be like Jesus for one another. Now, any comic or mimic will tell you that copying or imitating someone successfully is an ongoing and never-ending process. As the person they are imitating changes, a comic has to refine the presentation in order to keep it real. Refining the act to authentically mimic someone never stops. And good comedians are really good at keeping on top of their victim. The same, then, can be said of our attempts to be like God, I think. Just consider the example set for us by the Holy One. God has so many layers of being. God displays so many loving attributes. God puts it all out there and hides nothing from us. God is in constant flux to meet our needs. And those who believe, that would be us, we know it's vital that we keep working on our routines so we can put out in the world the very best imitation of God and God's ways. Now, if you are like me and you tend to be an overachiever in many areas of your life, be warned. We're not going for perfection here. I don't think we can ever attain a perfect or precise imitation of God as people of faith. And what's more, I'm pretty sure as the very first imitator of God, Jesus was as human as you and I. Those days alone in the desert were probably times when Jesus did a lot of reflection and self-talk about who he was and what he was doing. I'm sure Jesus struggled and had doubts about how effective he was being for God in his world. But as imitators ourselves, we are called to give it our best shot, to keep it real, because we're supposed to reproduce the love God has for us and use it to bring God's way to others in our world right now, just like Jesus did. So we refine, we continually evolve, because we're a work in progress as people of God. It is said that German theologian and Jesuit priest Karl Rahner suggested that it's better to declare we're becoming Christians rather than simply say we are Christians. Opening our hearts and minds to God's way really shouldn't be a finite, it's already done thing. Just as life today continues to challenge our beliefs, to bump horrible experiences into our laps, to shower us with a cool rain of hope, we are free to continually work on our routines to be authentic imitators of God as Jesus was. And we should never assume that we have it all down cold, because Jesus didn't. We should assume, however, that unlike the young man in our story at the beginning of this message, see how I brought it back? We aren't working in ignorance when we try to copy and live the actions of God or of Jesus. Our goal in this time is to strive to imitate Jesus in all ways, to be as authentic in living our faith as we can be, and to stand up and stand out, because we have an amazing model of grace-filled love, bottomless forgiveness, and eternal hope as our example, no matter what language we speak. And we can say, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information on our faith community or to support this outreach with a donation, be sure to visit us online at www.reachtouchteach.com.